You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyerman. I'm not doing this. I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. Come to the site now. Check out all the stuff we have coming out of Week 10 in the NFL. We've got our Thursday game down. We've got all our Sunday games. We still have one more game, Monday Night Football, the Vikings and Bears. A lot of things still in the balance for fantasy and reality here to close things out. We'll break that game down for you tomorrow with our Pickup Tuesday show. We'll also look at the waiver wire and free agent pickups. But it's Monday here. That means it's Roundup Monday. So we're going to look at everything that happened on Sunday through all the games and break down both sides of every matchup, the most important takeaways for you. That's how we kick off every week here on Locked On Fantasy Football. So a lot to talk about, a lot of interesting developments, the good, bad, disappointing, ugly, and just somewhat surprising. We'll get to all of it here on the show. Before we do that, I got to tell you that this episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On. You'll get 20% off your next order. All right, let's dive right in, shall we, to the results there. Sunday's games of week number 10. The first one, not much to talk about here. Windy, blustery conditions in Cleveland. Another game like the Raiders game before the bye for the Browns, unfortunately. So not a lot of offensive explosion in the passing game, but Nick Chubb, welcome back to fantasy relevance. He had the 126 yards rushing and a TD. Could have had a second TD as well, but we know that he went out of bounds to preserve the victory for the Browns. So the Browns do not cover. Chubb doesn't get a second touchdown, but man, you've been waiting for Chubb to come back. You'll forgive him if he didn't score. He came back as fast as he could from that injury. He still got that one touchdown for you, 126 yards. You'll take that from your RB1 every time. Again, a good return back, and Kareem Hunt was still very usable. 104 yards rushing for him. They rushed for 231. We thought that would be the case when we saw the weather, that they would just go nuts running. The Texans cannot stop the run, so that's basically what happened here. Kareem Hunt also had a 3 catches for 28. So Kareem Hunt still locked in as a RB2 with borderline RB1 upside. Chubb is obviously an RB1 for you every week. Unfortunately, that hurt the passing game. It was Rashard Higgins, the leading receiver, 3 catches for 48. But not much of Jarvis Landry, not much of Austin Hooper in this one. So the Browns, if they're going to get that opportunity and they can run on a team, they're going to run. That's what they did here. It almost cost them because they didn't get enough offense, but they did get that run late. Probably should have been 17-7 here in the end. So, again, they controlled it. They wore down the Texans in the end. And the Texans also can sustain drives here to rest their defense. So, rough outing, again, for Deshaun Watson. Rare bad game. 163 and a touchdown. No turnovers, but he had 36 yards rushing. Duke Johnson, we expected a lot more. Only 54 yards rushing. So, rough day overall for the Texans offense. I think they could have done a lot more. It seemed like they were on the field quite a bit. But again, bust of a day for Watson. That didn't really help Brandon Cooks or Will Fuller in this game either with the weather condition. So just bad overall, and that's going to happen from time to time. And again, hopefully the weather will get better in Cleveland so we can trust the Browns to throw a little bit more. Again, they're not going to throw as much, but visiting team now, the Texans, Raiders came in with great matchups against the Browns here in two of the last 3 weeks, and it's been disappointing. So you have to check the weather. That's the kind of thing to watch here, and also have to check the talent, the vibe of team here. The Texans had some buzz coming in. I thought they could win the game. At least they covered here if you thought the Texans were going to be competitive, and they were. Again, the Browns kind of grinded away and didn't worry about the passing game at all in this game, and that's hard to make you trust any of the receivers here without Odell Beckham Jr. The next game was the Giants and the Eagles. The Giants win this one 27-17. A bit of a surprise here as the Giants even the season series. They get a little closer. It's now A little closer. 3-5-1 for the Eagles. 3-7 for the Giants. Look at the Giants side of things. Daniel Jones, interesting game. 244 yards passing. He looked good throwing the ball downfield. Didn't turn over the ball. So second straight week, Daniel Jones has not turned over the ball. So you can't just automatically assume with this Giants offense getting better to play defenses against them. And Daniel Jones, just like he did in the first matchup, some nice rushing totals. 64 yards, including a 34-yard TD. So decent game for Jones. If you look at the 244 plus the TD plus the rushing yards, that's basically 250 and two is what you got from Jones. And that's pretty solid in fantasy football. The other two TDs didn't go through the air. They also went on the ground. Wayne Gallman, only 2.9 yards per carry. But this is what Wayne Gallman does. This Giants rushing attack, traditionally, when it's not Jones touching the ball, isn't very good in a tough matchup like this. But Gallman is going to get the ball near the goal line. Another week of Devonta Freeman missing time. We don't know when he'll be back. They're working Alfred Morris a little bit. I say Gallman is still pretty touchdown dependent. He had only had 60 yards from scrimmage, one catch in the game. So that's something there. But Gallman keeps scoring. They're going to give him the ball near the goal line, and this offense is definitely moving it in a scoring position from week to week. Darius Slayton, nice rebound game here. 5 for 93 on 7 targets. He didn't do well against Darius Slayton the first time. Sterling Shepard, still low upside PPR player. 6 catches, 47 on all of his targets here. But good to see Slayton back on track. Golden Tate in there. So what do we say about Daniel Jones when he has all the weapons here, which is very rare in his career? He gets it done. Unfortunately, Evan Engram and Golden Tate didn't do much. I thought Tate could have a bigger role in Engram as well. But again, Shepard and Slayton really helped Daniel Jones' production. They opened up things in the running game as well. So pretty good offensive performance for the Giants overall, considering if you were counting on Slayton or Gallman to come through and you streamed Jones this week, you were happy with the results. Now, on the other side of things, you had Carson Wentz, really disappointing game. Only 208 yards passing, only 4 yards rushing. No touchdowns for Carson Wentz, so really a disappointing game. We had 2 rushing touchdowns. Neither was to Miles Sanders, however. Sanders did come back, so you can't complain about that. 17 touches, 95 yards, as well as 2 catches. But Boston Scott scored on a 56-yard run on only 3 carries. And you had Corey Clement scored. So just tough. I mean, Sanders, potentially for a big day, was taken away when Scott made that big play and scored, and Clement is pilfering one in the red zone. Now, Dallas Goedert, 4 catches, 33. So disappointing. They still used a lot of Richard Rodgers here, with Goedert returning 4 for 60 on 5 targets. So he's still involved. This was a tough game for Travis Fulgham. A little bit of James Bradbury, only 1 catch on 5 targets for 8 yards. Jalen Reagor was involved quite a bit. Greg Ward. Again, Rodgers and Goddard, a tight end. Boston Scott didn't go away in the passing game. So Fulgham, just a brutal game when he had just been bringing it every week. You figure with all these other weapons drawing some attention, he would keep it going here. He did have a nice game against the Giants the last time. But, yeah, rough outing overall for the Eagles offense. You got Miles Sanders, you were pleased. But everywhere else, kind of questionable, unless you flexed Boston Scott in this game for the Eagles. The next game that we look at on the docket here in week number 10's Sunday action is the Washington football team and the Detroit Lions. And Wilder, higher scoring game than we thought. Matthew Stafford, actually in a tough matchup, came through 276-3. Hit his thumb after the game, but he should be good to go. The story here for the Lions, DeAndre Swift. He was treated finally as the feature back here. 21 touches. He turns it into 149 yards and a receiving touchdown. So big game for DeAndre Swift. He has fully arrived here as a rookie back. They're totally making him the starter. No more Adrian Peterson, more than a handful of carries. Kerryon Johnson, a handful of snaps here. So that is a big development. DeAndre Swift, good to go. The other is without Kenny Galladay, Marvin Jones continues to get it done. 10 targets, 8 for 96, and a score there. Marvin Hall with another big play, 2 for 61 and a TD. Danny Amendola could have had a nice game here, but he hurt his hip and was knocked out of the game. TJ Hawkins only 2 catches for 13, so that was also tough because when you looked at the numbers, Washington a lot more vulnerable in the passing game against tight ends and slot than they are on the outside. But Stafford looked at that, threw to the two Marvins, got big plays and scores. And DeAndre Swift as well. So and Swift is now locked in with his volume. If that kind of volume continues, he's in that RB1 conversation, folks. So great surprise shootout here and a good source of fantasy football points. So probably didn't look at Stafford. He probably could have played Jones in a lot of formats here. Swift certainly should be in your lineups every week now, locked in to me. With that kind of production and that kind of usage, I think you have to look at him as an RB1, and that's something that we want to monitor going forward. We also liked Antonio Gibson in this game, and he did come through. It was not the easiest way, but 17 touches, 45 yards rushing, 20 yards receiving on 4 catches, and 2 TDs. We'll take that every time again. Gibson has been borderline RB2. In some games, he can be an RB1. Then J.D. McKissic, what does he do here? He gets a rushing touchdown as well on 8 carries for only 6 yards, but he also added 7 catches for 43. So half-point full PPR, McKissic certainly flex-worthy here, and maybe even RB2-worthy in some formats. And Gibson popped into RB1 category. So this offense is basically humming now with key roles. We know that it's going to be all about McKissic and Gibson in the backfield. Terry McLaurin, what a game with Alex Smith. This has really helped him for sure, having Alex Smith in there. 7 catches for 95 on 9 targets. He also added a rush for 27 yards. So big game for Terry McLaurin, even without a touchdown here. And again, Alex Smith, veteran quarterback, does a lot of things to help your offense. Then Alex Smith is also about checkdowns and tight ends. Logan Thomas, a very solid game. 4 catches for 66 yards on 6 targets as well. And given the tight end landscape, that is a big game. So he spread the ball around. They got behind, used a lot of McLaurin, Thomas, and McKissic in the passing game. Gibson was still able to get his. So this is good. This Alex Smith ability to really distribute and help these guys. So no touchdowns for the air for Smith, but 390 yards facilitated the offense. That's what you're looking for sometimes in some of these quarterbacks that we are not starting here in fantasy football. All right, there's a look at 3 games there on the Week 10 Sunday slate. The important takeaways there. We still have more to get into, 11 more games to talk about before the end of the show. But before we do that, I got to tell you, you got to check out all the great shows here on the Locked On NFL Network, including two of my favorite shows, sister shows that give you good overview of the entire league. That's the Locked On NFL with Ross Jackson and Cody Rourke. And then you also have our show featuring a former NFL and college scout, Matt Williamson. It's called Peacock and Williamson with his co-host, Brian Peacock, there. So two really good shows if you want to go around the league and see what happened on any given Sunday on top of Locked On Fantasy Football. Please check that out here on the Locked On Network. We'll be right back here to break down the next wave of games from Week 10 NFL Sunday. All right, let's continue breaking down the games here, what we saw, the developments of this week. It is the Packers and Jaguars as we stay in the 1 p.m. window. It was a little bit abbreviated here because of the Masters, different schedule, all Fox games here. The Packers win 24-20, a little bit too close for comfort, probably not as the way I expected, but Aaron Rodgers came through as expected, 325 and 2 passing, did have an interception, but also had a TD rushing to make up for that. So very, very strong game with Rodgers. That was what we wanted. Marquez Valdes-Scantling only needed 6 targets, but had a 70-yard touchdown, 4 for 149 in that score. Devonta Adams wasn't forgotten here. He had 12 targets to lead the team, but catches 8 for 66. So not the greatest weather conditions to see Rodgers get it done. That tells you how talented Rodgers is, and he took care of both receivers here. MBS, a little bit of a shot in the dark, maybe a DFS tournament play, but Adams, you were playing, and you got the rewarded with another touchdown here. Now, Aaron Jones, fully healthy from that calf injury here. It was a little tough for him. Devonta Adams did lose a fumble, which was a bummer there. Jones did fumble in this game as well. But you look at it, 18 touches for 95 yards for Jones. No scoring, so a little bit disappointing there. But you did get enough catches there in half and full point PPR to feel good about his day. Jamal Williams cut in as usual with a little bit there, with 11 touches for 55. But Tyler Irvin got hurt. I think he's going to miss time here with a ribs injury. So another player out of the mix here. But Robert Tonyan made a big play downfield, but we knew it was going to be pretty much MVS Adams with Noah Lazard here and pretty much a lot of Jones in this weather, and that's exactly what we got. We just didn't think it was going to be as close. Now, the Jaguars made things interesting. They got a touchdown on special teams, Keelan Cole. In fact, Keelan Cole had the other touchdown as well on reception, 5 for 47 and a TD on 7 targets. DJ Chark, there's no Jair Alexander in this game, no Kevin King. 4 for 56 on 5 targets. So you expected a lot more from Chark, especially in garbage time. But what happened is the Jaguars kept the game close throughout. So they didn't give up on the run. That was a lot of James Robinson. Robinson ends up with 109 yards rushing without a score. He had a 15-yard run that was negated for a touchdown because of a holding penalty. So that kind of hurt. He could have a much bigger game. But 25 touches, 102 yards there from scrimmage to reception. So anytime a guy gets that volume, he's consistent. So we're not getting the touchdowns from Robinson that we got earlier in the past 2 weeks. He's been over 100 yards in both. But again, a guy that keeps getting touches, pretty consistent here. So when he doesn't score, he's more of an RB2. But again, this landscape says he's consistently a guy you can trust as an RB1 with his high floor from week to week. With Jake Luton, he had 169 and one. That touchdown to Cole. There was no LaVisca Chenault in this game, so you thought maybe bigger deals for Chark and Conley, but it ended up being Cole stealing the show in the offense. Only viable fantasy entity other than the Jaguars special teams, who had a fumble recovery interception and a touchdown there on defense. And you look at Robinson being rather consistent in this very good matchup. The next game we'll talk about here from week 10 Sunday's action. This was actually the last of the 1 p.m. games, 46-23. The Buccaneers started slowly out of the gate against the Panthers. They were down a 17-7 in this game early in the second quarter, but it was all Bucs pretty much after that point. Let's look at the Bucs. Tom Brady, you know he wasn't going to have another clunker. 341-3 on this Panthers defense. He also popped in for a short rushing touchdown. Ronald Jones had a long rushing touchdown, 98 yards. He just ran past the entire defense. Unfortunately, that meant Leonard Fournette took a back seat again. So Fournette was the man in the previous matchup. We didn't know what was going to happen between Jones and Fournette. This is one of the most frustrating backfields in fantasy. But it's also frustrating because you know there's a potential for production. It's just about guessing the right running back. So maybe you have both of these backs and you hope for the best. I think there was a scenario where you could have flexed both of them. That's how good this Panthers matchup was this week. So look at Ronald Jones, 23, 192 in a TD. He also had one catch for 6. Leonard Fournette had 10 touches for 30 in relation to Ronald Jones. So you never know. It's very frustrating. You want to go away from it. What we do like, however, is that Tom Brady, when he does this, and they're just throwing like nuts, and their offense is racking up more than 500 yards like this game, he's going to get everyone involved. Chris Godwin caught all 6 targets for 92 yards. Mike Evans had 11 targets, caught 6 for 77 and a score. Antonio Brown caught 7 of 8 for 69, so pretty solid there. We thought 69 yards might be Rob Gronkowski's number. Instead, he goes 2 for 51 in a touchdown, including a 44-yard score that was wide open. 3 targets for him. So Cameron Brate got a touchdown as well. So when Tom Brady's playing well, this offense is humming. They can be unstoppable and have this explosion where everyone gets there. So other than playing Leonard Fournette in this game, all the Bucs came through for you in their different ways in different formats. And you can't complain. And the Bucs do have a tougher matchup, however, this week. I don't think it's going to happen against the Rams, so keep that in mind. It's not going to be an all-out special, but again, good to see Tom Brady have a rebound game immediately after that clunker. Now, on the other side of things here, you have the Panthers. Teddy Bridgewater started out hot, 136-2. He actually gets a rushing touchdown as well. But then he had a knee injury, got knocked out of the game late. Also, the game was out of hand because the Bucs scored 29 second-half points in this one. So also reason to be safe with Bridgewater. We'll see if he misses time. He's considered day-to-day with an MCL sprain. That would be not very good if they have to pivot quarterbacks here. Will Greer, P.J. Walker. Walker right now is your guy that would pop in there and start. But again, we don't feel great about him. They're playing the Lions, so that gives them some opportunity. But the other news we heard, Mike Davis, brutal game here, 11 touches for 44 yards. So super sub run seems to be over, especially in a tough matchup like this. That's where Christian McCaffrey makes a difference, where he's going to cut through a matchup like this and be highly productive. But Davis is just not that capable of back. So 11 touches, 43, really disappointing. Maybe better luck against the Lions, who just gave up that big game to Gibson and McKissick. But looks like Christian McCaffrey is going to definitely miss week 11 with his shoulder injury as well, according to the early reports. Here in the receiving core, Curtis Samuel finally cooled off here. Only 6 touches for 12 yards. DJ Moore got it done again. So DJ Moore is a little frustrating because he's a bit boom or bust, but when he booms, he's very boomish, and he had 4 catches only in this game on 7 targets for 96 yards and a TD. So maybe this is flipping away from Robbie Anderson a little bit more with Samuel being involved and other people catching passes. But good matchup, of course, DJ Moore against the Lions, Robbie Anderson as well. So they should have some rebound spots here together. Moore has been more productive than Anderson of late, who's gradually, greatly cooled down here. All of a sudden, Samuel again, more of a gadget player, but we'll see. We want Bridgewater to play here there to take advantage of that Lions matchup, get the ball to these wide receivers, but definitely interesting to see this development where Moore is kind of the big play threat, maybe seeing more of that number one look so far, people keying in on Anderson a little bit, and Samuel again. We know this is the potential, that he can have the big games that he's had multiple weeks here against the Falcons and Chiefs, and then he cools down like this. So something to keep in mind. And when you have that a lot mouths to feed there, and Samuel and Davis are getting worked in consistently, there's that. But I would expect Moore and Anderson both go off here in week number 11. The next game, as we crack in to the games in the 4 o'clock window here, these were mainly CBS games, and the 425s were on Fox. The Dolphins and Chargers, 29-21, Miami wins. Two, a pretty solid game. He did lose a fumble, 169-2. You thought you were going to have a lot more with the way he started here, but they kind of grinded away this game with the running game. The story here was Salvin Ahmed, 21 carries, 85 yards, and a TD. He pretty much was a guy. So think about this backfield. We thought it was Matt Breida and Jordan Howard. Then it clearly became Miles Gaskin. Then Gaskin gets hurt. We think Breida is going to be the guy. He has a hamstring injury. Last week, it's Ahmed and Howard. Howard gets the touchdown. This week, Howard disappears, and it's all Ahmed. 85 yards on 21 carries. He also had a catch for 5 yards and a score. And it's Ahmed and Laird this week. So, man, it's frustrating. Gaskin, we know what he could have done in a matchup like this. So I don't know what's going to happen when Gaskin returns here in a couple weeks and Breida's healthy. I think Breida and Howard are out of this mix completely. I mean, Breida you can't trust to stay healthy. Howard is just pretty much a touchdown guy. So we'll see. Ahmed might have a little bit more value. They are playing the Broncos, who gave a big rushing game to the Raiders this week. So we'll see how that develops here. But again, very interesting here with the situation with Miami and this backfield, how it's evolved. But they're a little bit better running team. They're not the most effective running team, but something to watch there. It was a little tough here to watch Tua. He did get the touchdown to Jakeem Grant and Durham Smythe. So it's a spread out, piecemeal kind of offense here without Preston Williams, who he had a good rapport with, but he had a knee injury. So Mike Gesicki, 2 for 40. Devontae Parker, 2 for 31. Malcolm Perry, 2 for 21. The converted former Navy quarterback. So a lot of tight ends, a lot of work in the middle of the field. Got a lot of getting the ball out quickly. That doesn't really help anyone. And a Jakeem Grant scoring certainly doesn't help anyone. So weird game here. Tua was only okay with that production. Ahmed was a nice revelation here. We'll see if he can keep it going against the Broncos. Maybe you'll see a change in the backfield. But as long as Gaskin is out, I think Youth is going to serve and Ahmed is going to be the guy. Now, on the other side for the Chargers here, 187-2 only for Justin Herbert. So bad game for him related to what he's had. He also had an interception, but he also had 10 yards rushing and a score. So he ends up with the 3 scores again to have a very pleasing fantasy football day. Kalen Ballage turned out to be the hot hand of the backfield. 23 touches for him in a game that the Chargers lose by possession by 8 points. He ends up with a solid 102 yards. No scoring there. But Joshua Kelly clearly is always going to be outflanked by Ballage or Justin Jackson. Maybe they like him better working with Austin Eckler, who could be back soon as well for the Chargers. He was doing some running. So I think you'll see Eckler here pretty soon and clean up this backfield. But Joshua Kelly is just totally unusable. Ballage still has some value here. So Ballage and Ahmed, go figure. We didn't have them on the radar at all doing anything going into week 9. Coming out of week 10, these are the guys producing. So go figure there. In the passing game, only 3 catches for Keenan Allen, but he made 1 count with a touchdown on 7 targets. Only 4 catches for Hunter Henry and 30 yards, but he made 1 count with a touchdown. So we've been waiting for this Hunter Henry touchdown. It's been teased for several weeks, but he's back in the end zone. working in the red zone here along with Allen for scores. Mike Williams, very quiet day against this Dolphins secondary. 2 for 38 on 5 targets. So pretty tough. The secondary is good. Remember that. Xavien Howard and Byron Jones, they can contain some things. So you get that out of this. It's pretty good here for the Chargers and their production. And again, we've been waiting for something from Hunter Henry, from Herbert, and it finally came here in this week. The next game that we'll talk about here as we stay in this window of 4 o'clock was the game between the Broncos and Raiders. This was all Raiders, 37-12. I expected a much closer game. The way the Broncos had been playing of late, the rate of the Raiders' defense can struggle. But what happened here, the Raiders just ran over the Broncos. 41 carries for 203. Josh Jacobs had 21 for 112 and 2. Devontae Booker closing this game out, 16 for 81 and 2. So Devontae Booker still getting involved. And they had Jalen Richard miss the game a little bit later in the with an injury. Josh Jacobs also added 4 catches for 24. So there were the catches we were expecting here, more from Josh Jacobs. Of course, when you run for 203 yards and your quarterback only throws 25 times for 154, he's going to have 0 TDs. So disappointing day for Darren Waller, 3 for 37 on 5 targets. Just missed him on a touchdown. Henry Ruggs, Hunter Renfro combined for 5 catches for 61 on 6 targets. Nelson Aguilar nowhere to be found, making big plays. Down the pecking order beyond Bryan Edwards, 1 catch for 8 yards. So, again, big play dependent. They're not going to toss it if they don't need to. So, next week, you figure they're going to have a run-heavy game plan against the Chiefs, try to keep things off the field. So, again, if you extend anywhere from Waller and Jacobs, I think you have potential to be disappointed week out. This week, if you had Waller, you're disappointed. I wouldn't rush out to get Devontae Booker because nothing happened to Josh Jacobs. They were just so far ahead that they could rest Jacobs in this one. That doesn't always play out to when you think you want it to. So, again, Booker certainly should be picked up if you've got Jacobs as really high-end insurance here. He's been very productive working with Jacobs in the last 2 weeks. So, high-priority handcuff is Devontae Booker at this point of the season with the Raiders' bye week gone. Now, on the other side, you look at the Broncos. Drew Lock, what a nightmare. We thought Drew Lock could be a lot better than this. He's shown us something of late here, but it was awful. 4 interceptions, 257. He gets 1 TD. He teased us with TDs to Noah Fant and Jerry Jeudy and rushing, but none of that happened here because of penalties. Jeudy, 4 for 68 on 8 targets, so okay game there in PPR. Tim Patrick, 4 for 61 and 6, so very similar games there. KJ Hamler, very similar game, 4 for 50 on 10 targets. Also 4 catches for Deshaun Hamilton on 33 yards. He ends up with a TD, so a lot of piecemeal production. Jeudy, Patrick, Hamler, Hamilton, Noah Fant had 7 targets here. Actually, he had the 3rd most targets behind Hamler and Jeudy, so tough to trust, especially when your quarterback is struggling, spraying the ball around. You had Devonta Freeman come in for mop-up time later. Philip Lindsay was banged up and didn't really look good. Melvin Gordon looked good either. So really not much to hang our hat on the Broncos here. Just, again, if Drew Lock is going to be terrible in a matchup like this where you have an opportunity to run and make some big plays, I don't have a lot of faith in Drew Lock. And just hit or miss. So one of those guys streaming, that's what you get. It's always dangerous to stream quarterbacks like this, especially young ones with limited exposure. That's what you're going to see at times like this. And again, I don't know where I'm going to trust consistently. I think Judy's about the one player I feel okay with, but now with Gordon and Lindsay and Freeman, I'm just not sure I can trust the Broncos' backfield either in this situation. So Drew Lock dragged everything down, and that was terrible performance overall for the Broncos for reality and fantasy. The final game I'll talk about in this segment before we get into the really late action here, the Cardinals 32, the Bills 30. Last but not least for sure this segment, Kyler Murray, it was tough passing for most of the game except when he threw the Hail Mary touchdown pass, 43 yards, 32-30. The Cardinals bring a victory from the jaws of defeat here. DeAndre Hopkins, they made it a point to give him the ball. He delivered all the way through that final catch. I mean, it really made him a great play when he made that catch to really get those points. I mean, 43 yards and a touchdown there that we didn't have otherwise, but ends up with, in the end, 7 for 127 and 12 and a TD. That's what you're looking for DeAndre Hopkins. It's been quite a couple weeks, so they've gotten Christian Kirk involved, but we knew if Hopkins would go up and basically account for half of Murray's passing production, you weren't going to get much elsewhere. They use the tight ends quite a bit in this one. Dan Arnold, 4 for 34 here. Christian Kirk, only 4 for 27. Larry Fitzgerald, only 2 for 13. So pretty much when they weren't throwing to DeAndre Hopkins against his Bills secondary, they didn't have a lot of success. But again, you'll take it. And of course, Kyler Murray did stuff on the ground. 61 yards there, two touchdowns, both in the second half. So it looked like a rough, was this the first game that Kyler Murray would struggle? Then he just put into overdrive here. So he ends up with three combined TDs. Gets that extra TD, so to speak, with the 61 yards rushing. And 245, you'll take that every time from Kyler. Even when he's not putting up 40, you'll take it when he puts it up more than 30 in a different way. Kenyon Drake returned 100 yards rushing, but kind of empty 100 yards rushing. It's solid, but not spectacular. It's kind of weird. 100 yards rushing used to be great, but now we want a little bit more, especially with half and full point PPR. Did one catch for 9 yards. Chase Edmonds was okay in PPR, 56 yards rushing, three catches for 21. But again, Edmonds drops down to flex, Kenyon Drake down to a borderline RB2 when both of them are on the field, and that's what happened here in week number 10. Now on the other side, the Bills, Josh Allen, another solid game, 284-2, threw two picks, had 38 yards rushing. So pretty solid game, not spectacular from Allen. It could have been spectacular. It sounded like he was going to go off here. They had 16 points at before the half and then 14 after. So Josh Allen could have had a bigger game, but he was contained here. Stephon Diggs came through, 10 for 93 and a touchdown, 11 targets. He's been a fantasy locked in, one of the best wide receiver one values this season. Cole Beasley gets it done in the slot again. 13 targets, catches 11 for 109 and a score. John Brown had an ankle injury before that. Six catches, 72 yards on 8 targets against his former team. So we like the distribution. No tight end working in. Isaiah McKenzie did throw a back pass to Josh Allen, so he got an extra TD that way earlier. So there was that, so that helped as well, the production. But that's a little bit fluky, we know that. But again, the tight ends are not going to be a big factor. I think we're back to Allen just locking into Diggs, Brown, and Beasley, spreading them all around. And if Brown has to miss more time, see a little bit of Gabriel Davis, but he's hit or miss. I think Diggs and Beasley going forward, if Brown is out of the mix, are going to continue to get this volume. Tough game again for the Bills' rushing attack. We thought they could do more. Only 7 carries for 20 yards for Zach Moss, 4 for 15 for Devin Singletary here, and both of them had negative receptions here. So nothing to see in the running game, and that probably cost the Bills in the end here, not being able to control the clock a little bit and keep Murray off the field when it counted here. Overall, Moss and Singletary, more flex plays to me. They're hit or miss week in and week out, but Diggs locked in as wide receiver one. I think Cole Beasley starting to creep into that conversation as a weekly wide receiver three, as Josh Allen is now a solid every week QB one once again. All right, so there's a look at those games here on the schedule. We still have four more to talk about here before we close the show. Before we do that, I got to tell you more about Built Bar. Built Bar is simply the best tasting protein bar ever, and the improved Built Bar is even delicious-er with 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. The bars you get from Built Bar are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy or gal. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Every bar you get from Built Bar is low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Great for anyone on a keto diet. Just think the flavor profile of their cherry barcia. 17 grams protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams sugar, only 4 grams net carbs. So great to get in on Built Bar right now. They're delicious. You have to get them. They're protein bars that taste like desserts. It's easy to get in on Built Bar. Just go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Again, use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. We'll be right back to wrap up the show looking at the final four results of week number 10, NFL Sunday, from a fantasy football perspective. All right, let's continue the show here. We stay in that late afternoon window. The Steelers and Bengals hooked up here, 36-10. This was my lock of the week in the spread and sporting news. So, well, yeah, thanks, Steelers. Thanks for coming through here. 333-4 for Ben Roethlisberger. You remember those windy conditions that were supposed to be swirling around in Cleveland? Were they supposed to be in Pittsburgh, too? I guess Ben Roethlisberger, a little bit better than Baker Mayfield. And what Deshaun Watson was doing. 333-4. This was the big surprise, that they just went nuts throwing the ball, and they were kind of relentless. 46 attempts for Roethlisberger. They only ran the ball 20 times. So James Conner, you're expecting a big game from him. The Bengals' run defense stinks, but 13 carries for 36. And what you're seeing here with this offense is they're pretty much saying, we're not going to trust our running game slamming into the wall. We got these three awesome receivers. Let's go nuts with Ben Roethlisberger. He can handle the volume. He's durable. And let's do this. And that's what they have done here of late. Deontay Johnson back healthy. Once he's been in the mix, he's been good to go. Six catches, 116, including a 46-yard touchdown, 11 targets there and a TD. 13 targets for Juju Smith-Schuster, 9 for 77 and a touchdown. Chase Claypool had the fewest targets, 10, but he had the most touchdowns, 2, 4 for 56. Eric Ebron only down to 2 to 38. So this is a throwing team. I don't think this is exactly what Mike Tomlin wants to do in games like this, but if you're hot and you've got three receivers that are all of that caliber with Claypool in the mix, you would throw the ball too. So we like it in the passing game. If you're a Connor manager, not as much here as he continues to fade in this offense. James Connor probably playing out the string as the Steelers feature back. I think they'll go in a different direction next year. Maybe they'll look more at Benny Snell to create a spark here out of the backfield. But yeah, you love it if you got the receivers and you got the quarterback and there's three capable receivers. You don't know who to start. If they all go off, then it's easy to play all three. And that's what happened this week with Ben Roethlisberger, as the Bengals had no answers for them in the secondary. Now with the Bengals, Joe Burrow, 213-1. Tyler Boyd, only six catches, 41 and eight targets. But T. Higgins, nice game for the rookie from Clemson. Seven catches, 115 and a score. We know the Steelers were having some trouble giving up some long plays, and that helped Higgins on the outside. They erased A.J. Green, however, who's not even on the box score here. So when you look at it, no game here from Joe Mixon. Missed another game with a foot injury. Gio Bernard, kind of like Mike Davis, was the super sub early, but now underwhelming here. He ends up with 12 touches for 47, did get four catches, but Samaje Perine was the leading back here. So interesting, another Oklahoma back is the guy replacing Mixon, the best here. Seven carries for 48. Here you had Sean Williams have one carry for 39 on that fake play. So interesting there. You had Travion Williams as well with five carries for 22 yards. So again, this was piecemeal. They really need Joe Mixon back, and he's a different type of back. And we're afraid of this with Bernard as they give the younger backs some opportunities after the bye. That's exactly what happened in this game. Wanted to see what Perine can do, but I think Perine is more of the style of Mixon here. So tough game overall, unless you had T. Higgins in your lineup as a wide receiver three for the Bengals this week. Now, the next game we'll look at here as we continue in this 4 o'clock window. It was the Saints holding on the 49ers here, 27-13. The 49ers came out looking good in this one, but we know after a while they get overwhelmed and things get cooled off here. Nick Mullins, 247 and one TD early. There are two interceptions, however. Brandon Ayuk, as we thought, would come through in this game. He did. Seven catches for 75 and a score on 14 targets. We thought Jordan Reed would have a nice role full-time here, and he made a nice catch. He dove and made a play. Good connection between Mullins and Reed. So 5 for 62 and 6 targets. I mean, that, again, in 2020, that is a great tight end game when you're not scoring. So 5 for 62, it's just the way it is. If you don't have Travis Kelce, you're just trying to get something to hang your hat on every week. Again, Richie James, as expected, went cold with Ayuk back. Kendrick Bourne only a limited factor in his return this week, but as long as Debo Samuel's out, Ayuk is going to be the main man here, and he did come through 7 for 75 and a touchdown there. He had one rush for minus 8, so that kind of was a buzzkill there, but we knew it would be really hard for the 49ers backfield, and it was. 19 touches only for 46 yards for Jerick McKinnon. Only one of those was a catch. Jermichael Hasty, the rookie, only three carries for 13. So the game script got out of hand. The Saints' run defense is nasty. We know they totally obliterated the Bucs, took them one-dimensional. The 49ers at least tried to stick with the run. It was disastrous now. They're 25 for 49. So they probably should have abandoned it at some point. Maybe if they had Jimmy Garoppolo and Samuel and Kittle, they might have done that. But they were trying to place, battle of attrition. Eventually, the Saints wore them down a little bit, even without Drew Brees, and that was the biggest story from the Saints side of things. Drew Brees, ribs contusion here. So he gets knocked out of the game, only 76 yards and a TD before he departs. He got that TD to Alvin Kamara, who had a monstrous day without Brees, 7 for 83 and a touchdown, 8 for 15 on the ground and 2 scores. So not much there rushing against a very good 49ers run defense. They got some good running later in the game to save their numbers, but that was Latavius Murray milking the clock here, 9 for 57 only for Murray. Taysom Hill, as we saw with Jameis Winston come in relief, only 63 yards passing with Winston, 6 for 10. Hill did not really throw the ball, but they ran him a lot, quite a bit when they had the lead, 8 for 45. So not much Kamara rushing, but when you score three times and you have 7 for 83 to lead the team in receptions, you'll always go for that. And Michael Thomas, again, we don't know what to expect here. With Brees being knocked out, they went run heavy here. For sure, 30 attempts. There are only 14 catches as a team overall. Thomas only 2 for 27 on 7 targets. So that's a little concerning here that the chemistry wasn't there. Once Brees was out of the game, they didn't want to throw the ball too much. And I think they could morph into a bit of a running team here, folks, if Brees has to miss time. We expect him to at least miss one game, maybe more here. They do get the Falcons this week. So that is a good opportunity here. The Falcons are actually better than you think against the run. So you simply can't run on them. I think you still trust in Kamara, but I don't know if it's going to lean on Latavius Murray. But the matchups here are really good. They get the Falcons, they get the Broncos, they get the Falcons again. So if Brees is out for 3 weeks, say, I think they're still in good shape for their offensive principles here to get the job done, especially in the secondary for Michael Thomas. But if he has to miss more time than that, then they get the Eagles and the Chiefs. A little tougher, but interesting matchups for sure, and maybe a good timing to lose Brees if they're going to lose him at any point for the stretch run. So we know they went 5-0 without Brees last year. That was with Teddy Bridgewater. Let's see what they can do with Winston and Hill kind of playing this kind of hybrid combination role here for the Saints for maybe a week or more. The next game we'll look at here is the Seahawks and Rams. The Rams hold on to win 23-16. Their defense was the story. If you're waiting for a bad Russell Wilson game, this was that game. He did have 60 yards rushing. That's the highlight. But 248 and 2 interceptions. So no scores there. On the ground, through the air, not happening. He also lost a fumble this one. So 3 turnovers. Basically erases his rushing yards there with a minus 2 3 times over. And then only 248 passing is the net result here for your Russell Wilson number here. So that's about 9 points or so in most leagues here. So really brutal with Russell Wilson. Again, he was going to have a bad game at some point. The Rams defense was responsible for that game. They also sacked him 6 times. And what's happening here is they don't have the traditional running game going, and this one was weird because they've now pivoted back to Alex Collins. Remember him? The former Raven, the River Dancer and all that stuff. He's back because the DJ Dallas, they didn't have a lot of trust in him without Chris Carson. So Dallas, 2 touches for 31, but Alex Collins, 11 rushes, 43 yards, and the score. So Collins all of a sudden takes over from Dallas. Looks like Chris Carson is going to come back this week against the Cardinals. So, and Chris Carson locked back into your lineups there, assuming he returns. And it looks like he was pretty close to return last week. So, again, that'll clean up this backfield at least if you've been waiting for Carson. It's been hard to navigate between Travis Homer, Carlos Hyde, Alex Collins, DJ Dallas here while Carson has been out. We knew if the numbers were not good for Russell Wilson, they weren't great for the receivers. 5 for 66 only on 9 targets for Tyler Lockett. DK Metcalf was held to 2 for 28 on 4 targets. So Jalen Ramsey, the secondary, the pass rush up front with Aaron Donald and the rest, they dominated this game. And a really, really buzzkill, disappointing game for the Seahawks offense all around. Much better matchup this week against the Cardinals, who are giving up a lot of points. We know that in bunches. Now the Rams do get the Buccaneers next week, so it'll be interesting to see how much we want to trust from that team with possibly Jalen Ramsey and Evans, as we mentioned. Jared Goff, we thought, was gonna have a nice game against the Seahawks. He did. He had 302 yards passing. He did lose a fumble, however, and he didn't score a touchdown. So no touchdowns anywhere through the air for the Rams. They get all 3 on the ground here. Cam Akers looked like the best back early with 10 carries for 38. But Malcolm Brown, 6 carries, 33. Two of them turned into touchdowns. So he got two near the goal line. Darrell Henderson scored the first touchdown, 7 for 28 and TD. So this Rams backfield is not terrible. That's the thing. It's very frustrating. You want one guy to have a lot of production, but you don't know who it's going to be in any given week. You could play Malcolm Brown and he could do absolutely nothing and have the Akers game. You could play Henderson and he could do absolutely nothing and have the Akers game. So it's kind of a dice roll. Hopefully the Rams get in scoring position where you can trust Brown to score a couple times or Henderson to make a big burst in the end zone. So, but Akers is not going to win. Brown's not going to win. Henderson's not going to win. So very frustrating. You can start them in your own risk. I think they're all flex plays if you're desperate. And the Seahawks, their run defense was pretty good as well. And they only had 106 on 29 carries. So it's not like they dominated rushing. It was all about the touchdown randomness in this one for the Rams. And looking at their receiving core, this was even more puzzling. The matchup was great. There was no Quentin Dunbar. There was no Shaquille Griffin. They're not very good in covering the slot. 5 for 50 only for Cooper Kupp on 7 targets. 5 for 33 only for Robert Woods on 6 targets. And he didn't make up for it with any running of note, with only one rush for 3 yards. So tough if you had Kupp and Woods and you were looking at this matchup and your eyes exploded. But what did they do? Went to Josh Reynolds for 10 targets. So he had a great matchup on the outside, we know, with the Griffin and Dunbar injuries. 8 for 94. Didn't score, but if you pivoted to Josh Reynolds, looking at some of his targets, looking at the matchup, if you're a desperate wide receiver, you were rewarded probably way more than you thought in relation to Kupp and Woods. You thought he could have a nice game. You thought this could be higher scoring. Maybe you didn't expect to get to it the way you did, but sometimes you look at it and you get lucky, and that's what happened here if you played Reynolds there. Just shocking to see him lead the team in receiving. You have also Tyler Higbee. Remember him? He was kind of off the radar. 3 catches for 60 yards on 6 targets. Look good there. Gerald Everett, 2 for 27. So it's hard because you don't know if it's Van Jefferson or Reynolds or Higbee. And now Kupp and Woods have a lot of company with Gerald Everett also making plays. Brown is catching some balls out of the backfield. Henderson had a catch in this one. So tougher and tougher. That's Sean McVay. Very devious. And he's going to get a lot of people involved. But the one thing you can do is he's going to attack the weakness of a defense. And he did that in the passing game. Here with his receivers, it just happened to be Reynolds got open a lot more than Kupp and Woods, with the attention probably more on them than Reynolds in this game. Finally, the last game we'll look at was the rainy game between the Patriots and Ravens. The Patriots hold on for the upset, 23-17. I actually had the Patriots covering in this game. I didn't expect them to win. I had a 20-14 Ravens, but a little off on both teams scoring here. 118-1 for Cam Newton through the air. He also had a rushing touchdown here. What else is new? So, decent game for Cam Newton. Not anything spectacular. Jacoby Myers, not conventional to the big production, but he had a 24-yard touchdown. The converted quarterback threw the ball there into the end zone. So, and threw it to Rex Burkhead for a touchdown receiving. Myers also adds 5 for 59 on 7 targets against a tough Ravens secondary. So, good game with Myers. Just got through it with the touchdown. Burkhead, another multiple touchdown game, 4 for 35. But 10 touches, 66 yards, and 2 scores for Burkhead. So, tough guy to trust, but you could do a lot worse as a flex play at this point. But Sonny Michel could be returning at any point. Keep that in mind. That can cloud the backfield a little bit more. Damien Harris, 22 for 121, continues to look good as the young second-year feature back, getting most of the carries for the Patriots. So, Harris healthy, looking good. Harris and Burkhead. James White continues to fade in this offense. So, I think it's a lot of Harris, a lot of Burkhead. We'll see if Michel changes that, but certainly, Harris is an RB2 factor at this point, and Burkhead certainly is a high-end flex with how much he's getting involved and in scoring position for the Patriots. And they're not really throwing the ball to a bunch of people here as well. So a lot of Myers, a lot of Burkhead, a lot of Harris and Newton and his running, but not much else. So maybe some actually consistent fantasy football production now. Myers, keep in mind, Julian Edelman is probably back soon. N'Keal Harry could be back. I don't know if Myers will go away, but it's certainly going to hurt him because he's the only real wide receiver involved in this game for the Patriots in this monsoon in Foxborough. On the other side, Lamar Jackson, we liked him this week. He came through 249-2. He also had the 55 yards rushing, so essentially 3 TDs for Lamar Jackson here. So, again, unfortunately, he didn't get a lot of help from other people here. Mark Andrews had a relevant game again, 7 for 61 on 9 targets. Willie Snead, 5 for 64 on 7 targets. He caught both TDs, so Marquise Brown, nowhere to be found. No Stephon Gilmore, doesn't matter. Marquise Brown is just not producing here. Yet a nice catch by Gus Edwards for 31. He ends up with 73 from scrimmage on 8 carries. And they forced Mark Ingram in there, and it was a mess. He had that botched wildcat play on a fourth down that was pretty ugly. They forced him in just to get 7 touches for 29 yards. Again, hurt Edwards' touches. They could have gotten Dobbins a lot more involved. He only ended up with 6 touches for 14. So really disappointing when you put in Ingram and he's not doing anything. And he just kind of throws a wrench into these two guys who were doing a lot, Edwards and Dobbins, without Ingram. So they got to reassess this. They got to reassess who they're putting out there. Brown and Ingram, they're last year's news. Mark Andrews isn't going away, but they got to start using Duvernay more and more really Sneed. Will Greg Roman recognize this? I mean, Andrews is also going to be okay because Nick Boyle unfortunately suffered a scary knee injury that has him out for the season. So Andrews, Sneed working in the middle of the field. Who's going to be the guy that steps up on the outside? Maybe it needs to be Duvernay with his speed versus Brown here. Interesting that Duvernay, related to Kyler Murray, Brown was Kyler Murray's go-to guy, but Duvernay might be the better target for this offense here. So Edwards continues to look good. Dobbins needs more touches. Until they change that, you totally can't trust this Ravens backfield, unfortunately, there. But Lamar, good rebound game overall when you've been looking for something decent from him to get over the 20 points, and he essentially did that in this game. So there you have it. There's a breakdown of all your games from week number 10 on Sunday from the fantasy football perspective. All the takeaways you know. Don't forget, tomorrow we pick up Tuesday. We'll break down the Vikings-Bears Monday night game and then also tell you the targets you want to look at on waiver wire free agent acquisition. But then we'll start breaking down all the games, matchup Wednesday, matchup Thursday of week number 11, then come back with our DFS-centric look on DraftKings and FanDuel value there on lineup Friday. So that's how we do it. This is how we start the progressive Lockdown Fantasy Football. We'll round it out all on Friday. So get on board. Thanks so much for listening. Straight, no nonsense, fantasy football talk. That's what you'll get here from me, Vinny Iyer. Again, tell your smart speaker now to play the most recent episode of Locked On NFL. Good luck if you got anyone going on Monday Night Football, and we'll see you tomorrow.